really enjoyed that song. Thank you for sharing that with us. Isn't it wonderful to know that His mercy is new every morning, and His grace is ready and abounding toward us. So God is so good. Last week we started this series on the Alpha and the Omega. And so if you weren't here last week, that was actually the best part. Because the Alpha is, you know, Jesus is declaring Himself that He is the beginning of all things. That the Word of God tells us in the Gospel of John, John writes that in the beginning the Word was. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And it goes on to talk about how that, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld Him as the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. And, He came unto His own received Him not. Darkness didn't comprehend Him, but as many as received Him, we became the sons of God. And so, I probably misplaced a few of those, but you got the picture. But it's so good to know that Jesus was there at Genesis 1. And He didn't come along in a manger, and that was the first time He existed. He is God, therefore He has no beginning. But He was there in our beginning, in the beginning of all things that are created. And we saw that in Hebrews chapter 1 talked about how that He was there in the beginning of all creation. And it's repeated over and over and over again how that Jesus was there in the beginning of all things that are created. And so we saw that, and it was such an amazing thing to see that. A lot of people don't realize this. Most of you probably already know all of this, and you're probably going, oh, come on, give me something more. But I have shared this with people before, and their mouths just dropped open. You mean Jesus was there in the beginning of all creation? Yes, He was there. He was very much a part of everything that happened there in the beginning. And that's part of why the Father, even makes a statement. He says, let us make man in our image. And that's one of those scriptures that you can throw at Jehovah Witnesses when they come to your door, and that just ends the discussion. They turn around and walk away, and because they don't know what to do with that, and because they don't, they say that when John said in the Gospel of John that Jesus this was the Word and He was God, their Bible says that He was a God, and so they've changed it and twisted it into saying that he's not God. He's a little g God. And so it's like, that's not good. But anyway, but it was so exciting to see that Jesus is declaring to Himself. He declares it. We saw there in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, He declares Himself to be the Alpha and the Omega four different times there, just in that one chapter. And then we see it throughout the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's like a thread that carries through the book, where it's mentioned over and over again, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Everything began with me. Guess what? Everything's going to end with me. And so he will be, when the smoke is cleared, it'll just be Jesus. And so, and that's what's exciting. And it's good to know, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're on the right side of things, for sure. I would not want to be in the hands of an angry God and be on the opposite side. It's so much better to just trust in His mercy today. We're going to talk about the Omega today, the second part. And when we start with that, we wanted to mention that the Hebrew last letter, because the Omega is the Greek last letter, and it simply means the end. And the Tav is actually the Hebrew last letter, and it visualizes a picture of a doorpost painted with the blood of the Lamb. It's very interesting that when you see in Exodus chapter 12, verses 22 through 23, that the Omega is actually, or the Tav, is what is pictured there And it's actually whenever they were told, whenever the death angel was going to come and was going to take all of the firstborn of Egypt, they were told to slay a lamb in the doorway there, and then they were to paint the doorpost on either side and on top as well. And of course, then God said, and when I see the blood, then I will stand over your doorway, and I will cover that doorway so that the death angel cannot come and into your home. And in other words, you are protected. And that's why we call it to this day the Passover. And so anyway, we just thought that that was interesting. Thought we'd share that with you. So he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We see that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. So the church age is also known as the age of grace. In this book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we see a new side of our Lord and Savior. To the church, he is our merciful Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as said in John chapter 1, verse 29. To the world, though, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will roar into the final world scene with great wrath and holy righteous judgment. Perhaps this is the reason why that the world doesn't take kindly to talking about the church, and doesn't take kindly to talking about Jesus Christ. You never hear any kindness from the world and from the secular mindset when it comes to these subjects. The church and the Jews are the most persecuted peoples of the earth, and there's good reason for that. It's because the Jews is the lineage from which the Messiah came, and of course the Christians are the body of Christ. Well, Satan hates all of that, and so the world naturally gravitates toward that mutual feeling. And Jesus said, in this world, you know, you'll be hated. Because they hated me, they'll hate you. And so we shouldn't be that surprised when movies are made and things are said that malign the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that in the world, the only time they mention his name is when they're cursing. And it's weird that they don't ever say, "Oh, Buddha." You know, when they mash their thumb, they never holler out, "Krishna." But they will holler out Jesus Christ, won't they? Isn't that amazing? That kind of lets you know you are worshiping the true and living God, because he's the only one that's really hated. So to me, that's kind of cool. I like that. Anyway, just call me weird. Revelation 5:5. It says, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. As the Alpha, he is the creator of all things. As the Omega, he is the judge over all those things that were created." The final judgment we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and also verse 9. It says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For God did not appoint us to wrath." I repeat, "For God did not appoint us to wrath." May I say it again? God did not appoint us to wrath. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
The only reason why I do that is because some people have this crazy idea that perhaps we are, but we are not. But he has appointed us, because he goes on to say, "but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So I don't know about you, but when someone has an appointment to get a root canal, I don't shove them over and say, "I'll do it for you." I don't want that appointment. Nor do I want the appointment of wrath that those that reject Jesus Christ have. They have that appointment. My appointment is to obtain salvation through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the appointment that I intend to keep, and that the Lord intends for me to keep. Hallelujah. And so that's the one that we should be looking forward to. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the church. Oh, it doesn't say that? Did I read it wrong? Oh, let me try it again. Colossians 3, 6, because of these things, part of the wrath of God is coming on the church. Did I say it wrong still? Okay, let's see if we can get it right this time. Colossians 3, 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Amen. Now I said it right. Okay. So, Revelation 6, verse 12 through 17. I looked, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. I mean, I'm just imagine that picture that it's giving you. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So all of these people right now that maybe we get a little bit frustrated with, and we say, oh, I just wish that, you know, God would do something about that, you know, White House and about Washington, D.C. And I wish they'd just fire every one of those politicians and just start all over again. And I wish this and I wish that and all this sort of thing. But guess what? Their day is coming. And you don't really wish that on anybody. What I just described, the very wealthy, I mean, they have got bunkers dug out in mountainsides right now. Because they do know that something is coming. They are suspicious that something is coming. And that's why all of these very wealthy ones are building these deep bunkers in sides of mountains. There's a huge bunker that's in Scandinavia right now that they have dug. And that's for all of their government and their wealthy people over there. There are countries all over the world that are digging these deep bunkers, hoping that this is going to save them from whatever's coming. We know what's coming, and we know that he's got a bunker buster. And it's called his word. Amen. And none of that's going to save them. I feel deeply sorry for them, because I know that that's not even the end of how bad it's going to be. That's just the beginning of how bad it's going to be. Right now is the best day they're ever going to have. They're living their best life. They really are. They are living their best life. It goes downhill from here. And their best eternity is happening right now, because their eternity is going down and down and down, and it's just going to be awful, 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 awful for all eternity. Over and over and over and over and over. Every day. There is no new mercy waking up every morning with. And it's awful. And I think that's one of the reasons why we should even pray for our enemies. Because you don't even wish this, you shouldn't wish this on your worst enemies. You know, and because it's awful. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan are judged. In Revelation 19, verses 15 and 16, he treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verses 19 and 20, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So they do not escape. Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2. And after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants that were shed by her. And in verse 10 of that same chapter, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, you know, the false prophet and the Antichrist, they're already there waiting for Satan in the lake of fire, and then he joins them. And they say, well, it's about time, you know. Because, and so he's going to be there with them for all eternity, 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 eternity. And I'm being a broken record because that's the way it'll be. It's just eternity, eternity, eternity. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. It's going to be just this flash of light that they'll just be blinded by and then consumed by a single word that He speaks. And we don't know what that word is, but we know that it's going to be, and it's done. You know, it teaches us in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation that we return with Christ on horses. We're following in behind Him. But it seems like that before we actually get on scene, the deal's done. Because He speaks a word. And the enemy is consumed. He is the Omega. He is, the buck stops here with Jesus Christ. It seems like that the enemy's just having a heyday in the world right now. And it seems like, oh my gosh, it just seems like that every evil concept and every evil idea that they can come up with is just, they're just having their way, and woe is me, and woe is the church, and all this sort of thing. It's like, no. No, everything's going exactly to plan. Satan is playing into the Lord's hands. It's almost like a chess game, and God is the master chess player, and the devil only knows how to play checkers. And the Lord has moved a pawn or whatever, and the devil thinks he's getting ready to do checkmate somehow or whatever, and because he thinks he's got all of, I don't play chess, I'm sorry, so I can't really say it right, but anyway, he still has some moves that he can make, and so he thinks that he's got it, you know, he's got God in checkmate, but he doesn't. He's trying to play chess, but he's only a checker player. And God has already got it planned out. So don't be overwhelmed by the things you hear on the news. Don't be overwhelmed. I mean, there's a lot of really bad stuff that's happening right now. And I could get off on that, and I won't. I'm being very tempted right now to do so, but I won't. But just always remember, God is sovereign. This is everything that, while the world seems to be falling apart, it's really the pieces are all falling into place. And we're getting ready to go home. If you can see, if you can hear the hoofprints of the four horsemen, then that means we must be out of here even sooner. That's the exciting news. Because remember, we just read there over and over again. I read it several times. We are not appointed unto wrath. So we're out of here before that happens. Someone say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. It says, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And we just read there a second ago how that he consumes the enemy with the spirit of his mouth. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14 through 18 says, the great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet blast, a battle cry against the fortified cities, against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind, so that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all of the earth shall be consumed, for a full and sudden end will he make of all the inhabitants of the earth. There will be no escape. Romans 1, verses 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the Lord declares over and over again, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He doesn't just say that he is Alpha and Omega. He says, I am that I am the Alpha and Omega. And again, like I said a while ago, that it is in the Hebrew, it's the Aleph and Tav. In Revelation 21, verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So here we are again, and now we're at the end of the book of Revelation. He repeats, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. I'm reminded I don't have that in the notes here, but I'm reminded of the Gospel of John in chapter 7, I think it's verse 37, where it says, and at the end, in the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood up and he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, will be just gushing forth. If you drink of him, then out of you is going to refresh others, and the life of God will not only be in you, but will flow out of you. And so he's offering to us that we will drink of the fountain of the water of life. Is Isaiah 46 verses 8 through 10. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, things that have not yet been done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish my purpose. So it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what governments say. It doesn't even matter what the Antichrist has to say. And it certainly doesn't matter what the devil, that serpent has to say, because God's counsel is the one that's going to stand. All of the others will fall and fail. It started with the Word. Remember, we discovered that when we were looking at Jesus being the Alpha, that he is the Word made flesh. He is the Word of God. And all things were made by the Word. And in fact, in Hebrews, it says, and all things remain in their orbits and remain where they are and function the way they are by the same Word that made the worlds. So the planets, the solar systems, the galaxies that are in our universe, they're all functioning in their orbits just exactly the way that God spoke and said that they should. Our bodies are functioning. We don't even think about the next heartbeat. We don't think about our next breath. We just seem to do it without even really thinking. But they are continuing and functioning just exactly the way that God put into motion when he created us. By the same word of creation, that same word is going to end everything and put a stop to everything that is of the enemy and that is ungodly. The Alpha and the Omega himself will put an end to it. our everlasting Lord and Savior and soon coming King Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22 and verse 20, we see these words. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And that's where we finish today. I actually am giving you, yes, I know it's early. But he said, I'm going to cut it short in righteousness. So, Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord, for showing us the power, the majesty, and even what we hear and what we see is so minute compared to the full volume of who you are. We can't seem to really grasp it all. But Lord, we are so thankful that you continue to impart to us more and more. Every day we get to not only wake up to new mercy, but we get to wake up to new revelation from you, new understanding, a fresh relationship with you, and a fresh embrace of your word and an embrace of you. Thank you for the privilege, Jesus, that you have given us through your death, burial, and resurrection, that through you we're able to embrace the Father. What an amazing thing. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us this privilege to hear your word today. I pray that if anyone is here that maybe has been struggling in any area about you and about how this world and where everything's going, how this all fits together and what have you, Lord, that you would use these words that were shared today to comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them and cause them to know that truly you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning of everything, and you are also the ending of everything. And in you we can truly trust. You are the Most High God. And we rejoice in you. Thank you, Lord, for this hour and this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, being that we have a few minutes, if you have any questions or you have any comments, I welcome those. And yes, sir.
Where it says I come quickly, some people think way 2,000 years
before. Yeah.
But when he comes, he's coming like that.
Yes.
That's the question.
That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah, it's in other words, it's suddenly. Yeah, that word actually means suddenly. So yeah, for those of us that have been waiting 2,000 years, it's like, okay, Lord, this is not too quick. But no, it's suddenly. And so, in fact, in Revelation chapter 1, there's a mention of that again that sounds the same way. And basically, you know, we go over that. In fact, we did when we were in chapter 1. It's the word entaki, where they get the word tacos, which is not tacos that you might eat this afternoon. But it's a reference to a rapid speed up of things. In other words, when these things begin to happen, that it'll rapidly ramp up. Just the same as a tachycardia is a measurement of the heart rapidly beating, you know. So it's a speed up of things. And so that's where you get that same word. And so, yes, it's been 2,000 years since even this book was the book of Revelation that we've been studying was written. But now that we're starting to see things happen, have you noticed you could say, well, you could start by saying, well, since 1948, when Israel became a nation, we can see where things began to rapidly increase, you know, and bah, 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 bum, like that. And then you can say, well, wait a minute, we can go back to World War II and we can see that, oh, wait a minute, we can go back to World War I. And if you really do your history, you can find a whole lot of target moments where you can go, oh my gosh, you know, there's been progressive things that have been happening in our world where things are beginning to fall into place, all to bring about the one world government. So, being that we have a few minutes, can I share some recent news? So, huh?
Can we stop the recording?
I don't. It doesn't matter. Yeah, maybe. Because we probably won't be able to post it on YouTube because we know what they will do. But they have announced that with how many have heard about the bank failures that are happening in our world? So the government is rallying to put together a plan, and they already have it. And so I mean, they didn't know this was going to happen. Wink, wink. But it's called FedNow, which will be rolled out in July of this year, July the 16th, I think, is the date. That they, I mean, this is not conspiracy theory. This isn't just Christians saying this. This is a fact. You can go on the government website. FedNow will be rolled out. It is a way that they are going to lay the foundation for the CBDC, which is the central bank digital currency that they plan to have implemented by the fall of this year. And but FedNow is going to be the first stage of that. And that is already projected to be rolled out July. So I'm not saying that your dollar bills are going to be worthless, you know, in July or even in September, but they are definitely moving everything toward a total digital type of currency. States are right now voting on some legislation, and I just heard this where South Dakota rejected it. Fortunately, the governor there actually read the legislation because she was getting ready to sign it, and she decided to hold off and actually read it, and which is a novel concept, as we all well know, that a lot of them don't do that. They just pass it, and they say, well, we'll read it later. Like, what was that, Obamacare? Remember when they said that? You know, well, we don't know what's in that thing. We'll read it later, but we had to sign it. Okay. But anyway, so in that legislation, it was where they were shutting down all of the Bitcoin, which is independent of the government, and where that you could still remain an independent, you know, buyer and seller. They were out. The country is attempting to outlaw this. This legislation would outlaw any use of any independent Bitcoin or digital currency, so that when they do roll out the CBDC, which is the rollout begins. It sort of begins in July, and then, you know, is reinforced in September. That will be the only one. And so, from what I understand right now, this is just what I understand, is that there's only going to be six banks. Oh, there we go. Six banks. I had to look at my fingers. There will only be six banks left when this is all over with. And they'll all be government run. And of course, we know that the European Union is there, really struggling over there. The Swiss bank had to be bolstered over there because it was collapsing. So this is happening all around the world. And it's another, I hate to say it, but it is, it's another plandemic. You know, it's just part of the plan. But Jesus is Lord. Please always keep that focus. When you hear this stuff, I mean, there's a part of me that goes, oh man. But there's also another part of me that says, hallelujah! It's happening. The Bible, if God said it would be this way, and it's happening just exactly the way He said it. And so that's what's really, it's exciting to know that we're actually living in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last hours of the last days. And just the same, have you ever said, you ever read the Gospels and go, man, wouldn't it have been great to have been able to live at that time and see Jesus and see these miracles? Wouldn't that be great? And it's just like, but you're getting ready to see Jesus. And you're going to get ready, you may be that generation that actually gets to go up with a shout of the archangel, and you are instantly changed, and you're given these new glorified bodies. Hey, wow, this is great. No wrinkles, no aches and pains. Hallelujah. When you're trying to get up and go do something you used to be able to do, and you're going, oh, I can't do that anymore. None of that. Just these glorified bodies that are just like Jesus' glorified body, and you're heading up and you're meeting him in the air. You may be that generation. And by the way, just in case you do happen to graduate before that second or that hour, whenever he is coming back, and we don't know the day or the hour, we can't tell you what day that will be, but just in case you do go before that moment happens, guess what? You still get to go in the rapture. Because the dead in Christ arise first, and then we which are alive will join them in the catching away. So you're still going in the rapture, praise God. So we can honestly say boldly, without any reservation, we're going in the rapture. Well, I thought y'all would be excited about that. Y'all just went, yeah, okay. Oh, well. All right. Well, does anybody else have any other questions? I'll shut up otherwise. Yes.
Why don't you give them kind of an overview about the Prophecy Summit so they kind of know how it's going to be divided and how it's going to run?
Okay, so if you're interested in the Prophecy Conference that we got coming up, it's going to be a really exciting time. Some of it's going to be via video. And they just recently had a Orlando Prophecy Summit here in Orlando. And so some of these videos are actually coming from that. We have two videos that are by Billy Crone that is on that deals with Klaus Schwab. And if you haven't heard of Klaus, he is the head of the World Economic Forum. Most of your leaders that are in the White House or in presidencies, either in Canada, France, no matter where, almost all of the nations, those leaders went to his school. Kawenki Dink. But they all went to his school. So most of your leaders that are in your world today are from the school that Klaus Schwab started back in, I think it was 1970 when that started, somewhere in there. But anyway, so there was a link to Klaus Schwab in what he's calling the last, or not the last, but the current Holocaust. When you see this, I've already seen it. I broke down several times because it was stunning, the stuff that's happening right now in our world, in our country, but also throughout the world. And it's happening in our country. And when you see this, you will be stunned. So, but there's going to be two sessions of that. So we're going to put him on the first night and probably close to the last session. So it'll be kind of like, not bookends, but it'll be close. But we've got also some teaching on why should we even bother with Bible prophecy, you know. And so it's kind of important. It's, maybe you know, maybe you like to study Bible prophecy, but there are people that just don't even think we should bother with it. We shouldn't study it. We should just take care of our own selves, you know, so to speak. We shouldn't be concerned about my look on that is that the train is coming and children are still playing on the tracks. We need to warn them. The train is coming. You know, please get off the tracks, you know. So, but anyway, so we're going to have some of that. But there's, huh?
Got some tag teams going on.
We're also going to be doing some live sessions between me and Bob and Ken. We're actually going to do some tag team sessions where we're going to share our perspectives on some a topic. And so we've got some live sessions that we'll be doing as well. Most of these sessions will last about 45 minutes, and then there'll be a 15-minute break, and so that you can do a potty run or grab a bottle of water, what have you, and then you can come back in. We will be using this room over here for overflow, because like as you can see, this is a small room. It's not going to hold a lot of people, but we'll use that as an overflow. But anyway, and then we'll have our next session. We also have about an hour and a half of a break for a dinner break on Saturday. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, the overflow room, they're going to see everything.
You're going to see everything you see in here, except being that we are, Bob and Ken and I are not omnipresent. You will see us on video. I mean, you'll see us on the TV. So, sorry.
It'll still be live. It'll
I mean, we could, we, I could say something and then rush in there and go say it. And then
just stand in the doorway.
Now we could, yeah. There you go. There you go. Well, I mean, we can tag up. See, when it's tag up time, then you run in there and you do it. So anyway, we're gonna have a good time with this. But so we've got how many of these presentations? 11, I think.
There's 11 total. That's including your Q&A time.
Yeah, we're. Oh yes, we're also gonna do a Q&A time.
And that's also including the Sunday morning. The 9:45 and the 10:45. Both services.
Yeah.
Both things. It's including both of those. That a total of.
So it's so for those of you that haven't already heard, this starts on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, and so that's a Friday night, and then Saturday, Saturday afternoon, and then the evening, and we will do a nice long dinner break there. And then finish up in the evening, and then it goes into the Sunday where we'll do our Sunday school class. We'll probably be more dedicated to what our subjects are with this conference, and then the Sunday morning service will be dedicated to the conference. In other words, it'll be a message from the conference, and then we'll break again for a few hours and come back that evening. And I say a few hours, it'd be more like about 5 hours, I think.
Yeah,
four.
We stop at 12:30 and then we start back up at 6:15.
Yeah, so we're talking
about
5 hours break. So that'll give you a chance to go home and refresh and maybe take a nap. So, anybody, did that answer your question?
I think so.
Okay. Anybody else? Now we're getting close. So
it's going to be a great outreach for people in the community. That
yes.
Like you said, that are not church or that are have an interest and maybe they never come back from COVID.
There's a lot of people that have not returned to church since COVID shut down, and a lot of churches that haven't come back to church.
So
there's a lot of churches that closed during COVID, and so there's people out there that need fellowship, and there's also people that have never accepted Jesus Christ, and so we would love to use this as an opportunity to maybe answer some of the questions. I mean, people that are out there are unchurched, never been to church maybe, are still asking the same questions. And they want to know what's going on with our weird world. There's so much weirdness going on and we're hearing so many things. And, you know, what can we do? And the church has the answer. And I'm not saying that we know everything. We don't. But we have the answer, Jesus Christ.
I was just going to say, there's a large amount of people that are still not found in Bible-teaching church.
Right.
And like that one couple we met, they live rough, but they actually drive
an hour and a half. They drive an hour and a half to go to church.
That far away to find a Bible-teaching church.
Right.
And so, and they actually visited here, and they drove about 40 minutes to get here because they searched when they were down here visiting. Some family members, and they searched and found this church was the only one they found in the area that was a strong, true Bible-teaching church.
And again, we're not suggesting we're the only Bible-teaching church.
No, not at all. It's just what they were able to discern.
But people are having a hard time finding a place where they can honestly hear the gospel preached and hear the word of God. And so it's sad. It really is sad. We need to be praying for these other congregations that are out there that perhaps are going the way of the woke church and this sort of thing. And so whatever. Anything else? Anybody else? All right. So I guess we're dismissed. God bless.